You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
It's crazy. I gotta be honest, I'm not nervous. I'm just humbled. Like if you guys even knew. Wow. I gotta give some honor to our senior pastors, Pastor Jurgen and Pastor Leanne. I could never thank them enough for being incredible stewards of the vision that God gave them. He entrusted them with something huge that we're all living out. And it's exciting to kind of see where that's going. And down south here, fearless leaders, Pastor Emma and Pastor Drew. Give it up. Yeah, it's insane. You guys, these people will push you and see things in you. You know where I'm going with this because sometimes I don't see what they see in me. And they're just going to push you to that next level. And all it does is get you closer to God. And that's what I'm here for. And that's awesome. And I really believe that he has a special word for you guys today. So I was asked to give a Super Bowl message, kind of with my testimony, with where my wife and I have come from. We've been through some ups and downs. It's been kind of a wild ride. And so I started thinking about Super Bowl and how I could kind of relate that. And I was praying, I was reading verses, I was looking up scripture. And I kept getting halftime. And I was like, what the heck is halftime? Like halftime is like, I don't know if you know this year, but we have a very important role model of our life. I think it's Lady Gaga, right? I mean, so you know the importance of Super Bowl. And you have fireworks, you have juggling, you have probably very low quality LED walls that weren't purchased by Visualize LED. There's a plug. Yeah, so probably horrible resolution on those LED walls at halftime. But one thing we don't really think about is, and we don't see, they don't publicize, they don't put on TV, is the locker rooms. And so you typically, unless there's a tie, you're going to have the winning team locker room meet at halftime. And then you're going to have the team that's behind. 9 times out of 10, it's going to be one of the two. And regardless what Vegas odds were, I can tell you that the team that's losing, whether they were the underdogs or not, they're shaken. They didn't believe that they were going to be behind. They were told differently. Their coaches pressed into them. They worked the entire year. They worked so hard to get to that point. They're there. They're supposed to be ahead at halftime. And they're in the locker room. They're kind of panicking. I can imagine they probably have fired up the x-ray machines. They're checking some broken bones. Some guys might have had concussions. They're kind of coming to, being told the score, being told that they're down. And it's not what they were told. It's not what they were going to believe for. And all of a sudden, they're down, you know? And in life, I find that I'm going to have some horrible football cliches. I apologize. That's the one time I'm going to say I'm sorry. But in my life and my wife's life, we were at kind of a Super Bowl halftime, and we weren't ahead. Just about 3 years ago, 3 years ago, we were in Phoenix, Arizona. I had switched careers. I had taken a complete leap of faith, believing that I was following God with this new career. We had to lay down some serious stuff and take a bold foot forward. And shortly after that, when I felt like I was getting a little bit of traction, we had a diagnosis in our family. So at 14 months old, my son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And I thought diabetes was something completely different. I thought it was older folks. I thought it was maybe the unhealthy. And I started to realize what type 1 was. And all of a sudden, we were at the hospital for roughly a week, and we were being told that we got to be doctors and nurses and keep our son alive 24/7. If you see us leave quite a bit, if you see me checking my watch, it's his blood sugar. And we are his acting pancreas. And in that moment, Ashley and I kind of got started with our halftime Super Bowl where we were behind. We had to assess the damage. Within about 3 or 4 weeks, we were moving to San Diego. We left friendships, family, 30 years of that behind. We moved here to get close to incredible family that helps us weekly with our son. But we basically just dropped everything, moved, and knew 4 people coming here. Thank God we knew about C3 too. 2 of those people knew about C3. So that halftime of my life was, it was really a chance to assess the damage, to catch up, to review what went wrong. And another key part I want you guys to zone in on, it was a chance for us to anticipate future attacks. We had to say, how did this happen and what can we do going forward that's going to prevent some of these attacks? Where did we drop our guard? Did we? And where can we strengthen each other to kind of watch out for those things coming? So that was going to be my title of this message. It was going to be halftime. But that would not give God the glory that he deserves, because we are absolutely in our second half. And so if I were to title it, which I don't have a title, but it would be the second half. And I feel like there's people in here that you might be in your halftime. You might be kind of coming to realizing, this is not what I anticipated. This is not where I thought I was going to be. It doesn't matter if you're a junior hire. It doesn't matter if you're in more wisdom and years than I am. It doesn't have to be mathematically your middle point of life. You might just be like, this is not what I thought that I signed up for. And so I want to just talk real quick. There's two key verses that my wife and I have pressed in so hard to this year. One of them is going to be Jeremiah 29:11, which we all know. I'm going to read it quick, and you're going to hear more about it later. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. That's actually over our son's crib. It was when we moved here, it was one of the first things my mother-in-law threw up in his room. And there's been times where we've been crushed, my wife and I, fighting for his blood sugar, anticipating the next hospital visit that night. And my son would tap us before he could talk, and he'd point to that wall. And I got to tell you now, he just celebrated his fourth birthday, and he can recite Jeremiah 29:11. Literally, it's a world record. About 3 seconds, he blows right through it. But the second verse that I'm really going to zone in on is found, and I'm going to use the Message version. It's 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. And the Message, we pick up with Paul telling us about basically a visit to heaven. He's not sure if it was in the spiritual, if it was in the physical, but he knows it was phenomenal. He says only God knows, you know, kind of whether it was in the spiritual or the physical. And so he's talking to us about how he could brag about it, but instead he tells us about how he's humbled. A thorn in his side, it's called. Because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Okay, pay attention to this part. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift. Trust me, these do not look like gifts when you're going through them, okay? But I begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that, and he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that I was glad to let it happen, I quit focusing on my handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accents, opposition, bad breaks. I mean, insert your bad break there. I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. You know, I've heard it a lot that, you know, where there isn't darkness, light can't exist. And where there's not weakness, Christ's strength can't exist. So just be humbled as you go through those struggles, that's where God shows up. In my life, literally, as I read that again, Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push him to my knees. These trials and tribulations, they saved my life, you guys. I kid you not, my walk with God went from just lukewarm Christian my whole life, not diving in deep, to absolutely face on the floor, hospital rooms, praising God through it all. And I really think, thank you. And so the key thing there, and we've been discovering this in our Connect group, and as we were told, this is kind of Connect leader takeover, but it was just mentioned last week, we can't let our circumstances dictate our praise. You have to give your all through it all. And that's like breakthrough, you guys, is so right on the other side of praising God through trials and tribulations. It's incredible when you just look up. When everything tells you to look down, just look up. Praise God. So here's kind of the wrap up in that. If you can relate to this, if you're sitting in here, like I said, regardless of your age, where you're at in your life, if this is kind of your halftime and you're coming to, and you're kind of thinking like, this is not what I signed up for. This isn't what I expected. This isn't what I planned for. There's hope. And horrible football cliche. There's never been a halftime score etched into the Super Bowl trophy. It has absolute no relevance to the end. And we've cheated a little. We've looked ahead. We've read kind of the end of the Bible, and we know actually the outcome of this thing. So it's time for us to start walking in that freedom and living in that victory. And so by doing that, so if you're sitting here at your halftime and you're kind of wondering what next, that step onto the field, horrible cliche, but that step onto the field in your second half, it could look like going to your first cherish ever. It could look like raising your hand for the Book of Miracles. It might look like, as a guy, signing up for Forge. You have no idea what it is. Just go sign up. That's your second half, you guys. That's where victory is going to happen. And if you're blessed, and if you're you have a 50-0 lead, horrible reference again, and you're just cruising to your Super Bowl victory, that's great. That's awesome. But I can tell you that this church is like a team. And when somebody's down, when they get taken out on the field, what does the rest of the team do? They take a knee. It's so applicable in this church. When we have a player that's down, we drop to our knees. We will fight for you. We will pray for you. All you got to do is be the one that raises your hand and asks to get connected. Thank you. So, and that's it, you guys. Just on behalf of Ashley and my son and myself, we love you guys so much. It's you guys make this life worth living, and we are just absolutely pumped to be part of this church. And with that, one of my son's best friends in this entire church, I would say the princess warrior fighting for so much in her life, I want to introduce Bethany Williams.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I love Tyler and his family. We're going through such similar situations, and they are just the rock that I lean on, and we pray together all the time, and their son is just an inspiration to me. So they're just amazing. Thank you. Awesome. I'm going to have my water bottle up here. I've been fighting a little bit of a cold, so if I need to cough, please forgive me. Sorry about that. I just want to give thanks first and foremost to Pastor Drew and Pastor Emma. These are two of the most genuinely kind and caring people that I've ever met. And I've never been to a church with campus pastors that care so much about the people in their church. Yeah, yeah. And without Pastor Emma's leadership and guidance this past few years, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. So thank you so much for everything that you do for us. All right, so it's Super Bowl Sunday. I love football. I love sports. So in case, for those of you that don't love football, what is the Super Bowl? I'll break it down for you a little bit. It's a culmination of a season's worth of football games, all leading up to a final matchup between two teams that have been striving and preparing and training for this the whole year, maybe even their whole lives. And it kind of got me thinking a little bit. If these football players work that hard for a football game, shouldn't we work just as hard to prepare ourselves for our Super Bowl moments in life, right? Shouldn't we strive to grow closer to God so that when those defining moments happen, that we will be able to praise him and turn to him, and that we won't crumble under the pressure like my beloved Carolina Panthers in last year's Super Bowl. But we'll thrive and we'll grow closer to God. At some point in our life, we'll be faced with a situation or a challenge, and we'll have two options in that moment. We can either turn to God and run to God, or we can turn away from him and try to rely on our own understanding. A lot of you know my story, you know my family, but if you don't, my Super Bowl moment in my life happened really recently, about a year and a half ago. I was 27 years old at the time. My family life was great. I was serving in church. Everything was going good. I had a good job and seemingly good health. And I was at work one day, started having a little bit of side pain, so decided to go in and get it checked out with my husband. Well, my husband made me go get it checked out. And I fully expected I would go in. The doctor would just tell me, you're just dehydrated, go home, rest, drink some water. After a few hours of sitting there and waiting, we started to get more nervous. And that's when not one doctor came in, but a team of doctors. Wow. And they diagnosed me with a rare form of leukemia. Wow. I was shocked. I didn't know what to think. I kind of went numb. And as is my personality, I kind of just turned off my emotions in an attempt to hide any weaknesses, any vulnerabilities from my friends and my family. I've always been so self-sufficient growing up. I lost my dad when I was 8 years old. I had a sister that had a baby at 15 years old. My mom was focusing all of her energy on raising that baby, and I've always been just so self-sufficient. And when those moments happen, I don't want to burden anyone else. I take the burden on myself. I don't want anyone to worry about me. Wow. So, sorry, it's emotional. So I decided I was just going to be Superwoman. Wow. I was going to do it all on my own. I continued to work my 50-hour plus week work every week. I wasn't even going to let my children know that I was sick. Wow. I was just going to continue living life. And I was going to do that while serving in church, taking care of my family, and starting chemotherapy, and several doctor's visits a week. So I thought I was just going to handle it all.
Wow.
And that I could just do it all on my own.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that, of course, was short-lived. It didn't take long. About 3 months was all it took for me to just run myself ragged. I was exhausted. I had no time and energy left for anything that mattered most to me. I had no time and energy left for my family at the end of the day. I had no energy left for serving church, which is, if you know me, that's what I love. I mean, I love just serving God and serving the kids here. I had no time left for my friends or for connect groups, anything that mattered to me. I would go to work, come home, and go to bed. Despite prayers of healing from myself and from so many people around me, I was seeing no real change, positive change in my test results. And I felt like I just hit that wall, and I didn't know where to turn. That same month in December, we were at our connect group, Matt and Vanessa Lee's Connect Group. So if you don't have one, look them up. They're awesome. I was surrounded by my church friends and family, and they just kind of helped me realize that I couldn't continue down the path that I was on, that I needed to surrender that burden to God and just give it to Him, or change and healing couldn't take place in my life. And I couldn't control that situation on my own any longer. So I took their advice, and with much prayer, a few weeks later, I quit my job. And I committed to serving church and spending all my time serving God and just praising God like I should have from the beginning.
Awesome.
And spending time with my family and just getting back to the things that matter most in life. Those situations really help you realize what's important. And when you just get back to that, that's what makes all the difference. I never missed an opportunity to serve in church. And every opportunity that I could get into a sermon, I was there. Any conference that came up, I made sure that I registered. Basically, any time the church doors were open, I was there. I was committed to God and serving God. And when that my attitude finally shifted and I finally just surrendered myself completely to God, that's when my Super Bowl moment happened. Things instantly started to improve in my life. It was amazing. God showed up like He's never shown up before in my life. I started having more energy for my family, more energy to serve in church. I felt better than I had ever felt before. I had this a joy and a peace and an understanding that I've been a Christian my whole life, and I have never found such a joy and a peace and an understanding that I found, and I found it during the hardest moment of my life. So I, being in church so much and kind of just being here as much as I could, it equipped me. It equipped me to pray with more confidence, with more authority, and with more expectation, and to pray for my healing, and just pray as if I were already healed.
So
I continued to dig deeper. I took on a leadership role in kids' church and just continued to continue to serve and soak as much as I could. And I just continued to sow those seeds of faith, and just life continued to improve. Fast forward to April of last year, and the doctor called me, and she, much to her surprise, from the month before with no real change in my test results, my test results had come back clear. I was in. I was in full molecular remission. She couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe that it had happened so fast and with no real. She just didn't expect it to happen. I was closer to God than I had ever been before, and in turn, my family was closer to God than they had ever been before. My life was thriving. My family life was thriving. And, you know, I wondered when I got that call, I wondered maybe it's just coincidence, that a coincidence that she called and gave me this report that I had been praying for so long. But only after I fully surrendered myself to God and followed his path for me. And I just realized the healing that took place after that, it's no coincidence at all. That's our God.
That's it. Come on. So good.
Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." That's where my downfall was. I was trying to rely on my own understanding. I wasn't prayerfully seeking God and trying to listen to what he wanted me to do in this time, what he wanted me to do in life at the time. I learned so much from going through this. And just take a page from my book and learn from my mistakes. Equip yourselves early for your Super Bowl moments in life. Get planted in church and attend church at every opportunity. Get into a connect group and surround yourselves with godly people who can be there to guide you and lead you and help you grow closer to God during these moments. And that'll kind of be there for you and kind of nudge you with their elbow and say, "Hey, maybe you're not going down the right path. Maybe we should pray together. Let's pray and seek God and see what he has in store for you." I can't tell you how important connect groups have been in our life. Commit to serving God and serving others. Serving in kids' church during this time was the biggest blessing I could have asked for. I'm telling you what, taking the focus off of myself and off of my pain and focusing on serving others and serving God and building his house made all the difference for my attitude. I mean, it was a major attitude adjustment just to be in there with those kids and to see how they just blindly just seek God and how they serve him with just that child's heart. It just made all the difference in the world for my attitude. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Awesome. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart."
Yeah,
and it's so funny, when I was preparing for this, I was praying and I was talking to my husband last night, and I knew that Tyler was going to use this message too, use this verse too. And it's because it's such an important verse for us. It's so important because it explains what we have to realize in our lives before we can gain healing.
Wow.
It explains that I had to trust God and had to seek him first with my whole heart before change could happen in my life.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm not scared or sad, or I'm just expectant now. And I know now that if I'm ever faced with another Super Bowl moment in my life, I know that I'm equipped to turn to God now and to run to God and praise him during the storm. And I just have a challenge for you all. My challenge for you guys is to equip yourselves early for that moment. And when that one moment happens, that moment that you've, like those football players, you've been training for, you've been preparing for your whole lives, turn to seek God with your whole hearts, and that's where you'll find him. And that's where healing and joy and peace and understanding will come into your life. And that's what makes all the difference. So thank you guys so much. Thank you. And now on stage, Tony Rivera. He is one of the most amazing God-filled men that I've ever met. And he is one of the most powerful prayers. If you need prayer for anything, oh my gosh, seek this man out. He will pray it out of you. I'm telling you that. So, Tony.
Thank you. You did amazing.
Come on, South Campus, give it up. Come on. Seriously, how amazing has the morning been so far? Bethany, Tyler, I mean, you guys crushed it. So very proud of what you guys just did. Yes, all right. So here we go. Let's do this. Let's do this. As always, Pastor Drew, Pastor Emma, thank you so much. It is always an honor, always a privilege to be able to stand at this pulpit and speak with you all and share with you all what God's put on my heart. And today's Super Bowl Sunday, and I noticed when Pastor Drew mentioned that a little bit earlier, everyone got a little bit more excited about the tacos than the game. I get it. I totally understand. The Steelers didn't make it to the Super Bowl, so why even cheer? Why even watch it? I get it. As you can see, I'm a Steeler fan, but nonetheless, I'm still excited for today's game because I'm a fan of the game. I'm a fan of the sport. You know, I played football when I was younger. I played it all my life when I was younger, and I played it all the way through high school. And I say this with some humility, I was actually pretty good. I actually was a pretty good football player. In high school, as a sophomore, I actually got moved up to varsity. And when you're in high school, that's actually a pretty big deal. That's actually pretty cool. My senior year, I was actually named defensive and team captain for my team. Again, in high school, that's actually a pretty big deal. But see, why did I mention that? I didn't mention that to relive the glory days. I actually mentioned that to really make a point. See, I was the same height back then as I am now, a towering 5'7". Okay? And at my biggest, I was probably about 185 pounds on the little weight program. And I ran my 40-yard dash in 5 seconds flat. Now, wait a minute. If you don't really know too much about football, find somebody that played or find somebody that did, and you will find out that those numbers are really not that impressive. They're really not. They're really not that intimidating, especially for the position that I played. I was a linebacker, and linebackers are usually 6-foot-something, 200-and-something, and just mean, okay? So I had to figure out a way to get really good because I didn't have those things, okay? So there's three things that I really focused on and that I had that allowed me to excel. One, I was passionate. I was that guy who was going to give the pregame talk, the halftime speech to motivate and get everyone ready to go to battle. That's who I was, okay? I was also fearless. I didn't care how big, I didn't care how you looked. I was gonna hit you, and I was gonna hit you hard, and I have the concussions to prove it. But lastly, and this is what I really feel made the difference, okay? This is what really gave me the edge, is that I focused on the fundamentals of the game. I focused on the basics, the essentials. You know, I focused on tackling properly. I focused on reading alignments and learning how to read the offense. I focused on pursuit drills, and that's what made me good. Focusing on the fundamentals. See, the fundamentals are the essentials, the basics, the foundation on which anything or something is built. But there's something about the fundamentals that's also true, is they are more times than not the thing that is overlooked or taken for granted. Okay? So there's a great story about the coach Vince Lombardi. And if you don't know who Vince Lombardi is or was, he was the coach for the Green Bay Packers. And he's probably one of the greatest coaches to ever coach in football. See, and what Vince Lombardi did was he came in and he became the coach of the Green Bay Packers. And he coached up a losing organization to Super Bowl team. The first year that he coached them all the way to today, to the Sunday, to Super Bowl Sunday. And they actually were picked to win. They were favored to win. Okay, and they were actually winning the game all the way up until the fourth quarter. But then they had some breakdowns. They made some key mistakes, which actually opened the door for the Philadelphia Eagles to actually come from behind and win the game. So let's fast forward really quick to that first day of training camp after that season. As you would imagine, every player was in that locker room. Every player was sitting there and just thinking and eager about building on everything that they had done the year before so that they could get back to that game and they could win it this time. But Vince Lombardi had a little different approach. See, Vince Lombardi came in and he had 5 words for that team. As he walked in, he picked up that pigskin, got into the center of the room and said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." See, what Vince Lombardi knew is that in order to get back to playing for that championship, in order to get back to that Super Bowl team, he needed to get back to the fundamentals. He needed to get back to the basics. He needed to get back to those things that in the fourth quarter of last year's game broke down and were overlooked. So he focused on the fundamentals. And let me tell you what happened. That year, he took them back to the Super Bowl, and they won 37-0. 37-0, focusing on the fundamentals of the game. And to even add to it on how important that is, the fundamentals, he actually, over the next 7 years, went to the Super Bowl 5 more times and won 5 more times because he focused on the fundamentals. So why did I tell this story? Why did I open up with those two stories? Because today what I want to do, church, is take us back to the fundamentals. I want to take us back to that thing that we as Christians must build everything on. So C3 Church, this is a Bible. See, and as Christians, this must stay and be our foundation, okay? These just aren't words on a page. No, no, no. In this book is the living word of God. In this book is life, and in this book is power. In this book, you will find power that can transform a city. In this book, you will find power that can transform a society. In this book, you will find power that can just take you to another level and change your life. See, we were asked to preach about a Super Bowl moment in our life. Well, my Super Bowl moment wasn't a specific event, and it wasn't a specific incident in my life. My Super Bowl moment is when I learned a valuable lesson. My Super Bowl moment is when I learned the relationship of the words in this book and authority. The spoken word of God and authority. And that's what I want you to focus in on for the next few minutes that we have, is the word spoken. See, now don't get me wrong. Hearing and reading the word of God is important. It's vital, and I love it. See, hearing and reading the word of God is going to bring love into your heart. See, hearing and reading the word of God is going to enhance your joy. See, reading and hearing the word of God is going to actually energize your faith. Hearing and reading the word of God will fortify your hope. But, it is the spoken word of God that activates power. It is the spoken word of God that is your authority.
Let's go, baby. Come on. That's it.
I feel like preaching, church. Can I preach? Come on. Come on. See, in other words, authority is revealed. Authority is displayed, and authority is manifested when you speak the word of God. All we have to do is look at the beginning. That's all we have to do. Let's go back to Genesis. Okay, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to give you a little bit. Genesis 1 through 3 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Here it is. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." See, God didn't think creation into existence. God didn't hear creation into existence, and God did not read creation to existence. He spoke creation into existence, okay? And when you and I speak the word of God, things happen. When you and I speak the word of God, we are no longer pleading, we are no longer asking, we are no longer hoping. When we speak the word of God, we are commanding things to happen. When we speak the word of God, we are declaring that things will happen. Here we go. Jesus says in Matthew 17:20, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing." See, and when you start to speak with authority, you start to build confidence. When you start to speak with authority, you start to build trust, not only in yourself, but in the one who is greater, okay? And when you have that trust and that confidence in He who began a good work in you and will carry it on until completion, until the day of Jesus Christ, well, guess what, church? You are now a Christian who is walking in faith.
There we go. Come on.
And when you're a Christian walking in faith and speaking with authority, you're on the offensive. When you're a Christian walking in faith and speaking with authority, you are taking ground. When you're a church walking in faith and speaking with authority, you can come into a city and start a church in a movie theater, and from day one, trust and believe that you will get a 40,000 square foot building. See, and when you're a Christian walking in faith, speaking with authority, oh man, when you're a Christian walking in faith and speaking with authority, you can stand firm and steadfast. When you're a Christian walking in faith and speaking in authority, when that enemy comes and tries to lie to you, when that enemy comes and tries to whisper and steal from you, when that enemy comes and tries to whisper in your ear, you know what, Travis? You can't stand the storm. You know what, Christian? You can't stand this storm. You know what, Chris? You can't stand this storm. But when you're a Christian walking in faith and speaking in authority, you can stand back, turn right to him, put your shoulders back, head held high, and say, devil, I am the sword. See, because when you're a Christian speaking the word of God, you are no longer looking for or seeking victory. You are living in a place of victory. And this is what it comes down to, church. This is it right here. This is what I want you to walk away with. Just like we heard in Matthew about the mountain. If you do not speak to your mountain, your mountain will speak to you. So, this is what I want to do right now. I want everybody to stand. I want everyone to stand real quick. And we're going to exercise some authority real quick. I don't have much time, but we're going to go after it. So while you're standing right here, I want you to do one thing, okay? Because I need you to understand that the presence of the Lord is here right now. It says wherever two or more are gathered, in my name, I'm in the midst. So he's here right now. He is here right now. He's moving through this theater. He's moving through the seats. You can feel him if you're open to it. So be open to it. He's here right now. And so what I want you to do right now is I want you to close your eyes. I want everybody's eyes closed. And I want you right now to start visualizing your mountain. Because we all have a mountain. For some of us, the mountain may be fear. For some of us, the mountain may be doubt. It may look like worry. It may look like leukemia. It may look like type 1 diabetes. It may look, it's your mountain, you know. Visualize it. See it. See the ridges in it. See every single detail in it. Yeah, there you go. And now that you have it and that you can visualize it and you are facing that mountain head on and you're looking at that mountain right now, I want you to tell it to move. I want you to tell it to move. Exercise your voice right now, church. Tell it to move. Don't stand there quiet. Tell it to move. Activate your authority. It is no longer there. Because I'm going to tell you this, church. When you tell your mountain to move, when you get rid of that mountain, there is something behind that mountain. See, when you tell that mountain of fear to move, you will find faith behind it. When you tell that mountain of sorrow to move, you will find joy behind it. When you tell that mountain of death to move, you will find life. When you tell darkness to move, you will find light. When you tell defeat to move, you will find victory. When you find sickness and tell it to move, you will find healing. Shame will turn to grace. Unforgiveness will turn to forgiven. Bondage will turn to freedom. Come on, church. Tell it to move. Tell it to move. Oh, we will not be shaken, church. We will not be shaken. While you're still standing, I want you to keep your eyes closed. I want you to keep them shut because now that we've expressed it, now that we've put it out there, I need to bring it back. I need to reel it back. I need to come back to those fundamentals because what we have to remember is that the Word became flesh and we always have to bring it back to Jesus. Always have to bring it back. That is our fundamental. So right now, what I want to do is I want to extend an invitation. If you are here today and you have never felt that authority, If you are here today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, right now in a few moments, I'm gonna ask you to do something brave. And I'm gonna ask you to extend that invitation, because when you put Jesus in your heart, man, he takes root. He takes root and starts to grow. He starts to build. And as your heart grows and builds with the love of Jesus, that authority and that power just goes to a whole nother level. But if you're here today and you've already done that once before, but maybe you haven't been exercising that authority, maybe you have lost a little bit of that roar in your voice, I'm gonna ask you to do the same. I'm gonna ask you to just raise your hand and get a fresh touch from God. So if you fall into one of those two groups, you've never had him in your heart, but you want him there now because you want to exercise this authority of the Word of God, or if you have done it before, but you need a fresh touch today, if that's you, I want you guys to be really brave right now. And on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Come on. I see that hand right here. I see that hand right here. I see that hand right here. Come on, guys. The presence. I see that hand in the back. Come on. I see that hand in the back. Come on, guys. The presence is here. He is the God who was, who is, and who is to come. He is here right now. He is here right now. And that mountain will move because his presence is here. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Come on. I only got a few more moments. I see that hand. Thank you. Come on. Oh, it's a beautiful thing, church. I love it. I love it. Here we go. So what I'm going to do right now is I want us all to exercise that authority. And I want you all to repeat after me. We're going to say a strong and amazing prayer together. And we're going to right now say that we're taking ground. We're taking ground. So here we go. Eyes closed. And I just want you to repeat after me. I want you to say, Lord, I recognize that I am a sinner. I seek your forgiveness today. I repent and turn from my sin. I believe in Jesus Christ and that he died on the cross to pay for my sins. Lord, come into my life. Give me the Holy Spirit so I can follow you and have everlasting life and tell every mountain from this day forward to move, to move. To move! Come on, church!